Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, a running coach who focuses on more than just physical training.
Not only a spiritual leader, but sometimes a shrink.
Therapist. You're a running therapist.
I am. I do feel like there is that relationship with athletes, some athletes especially, that just really need that extra help in terms of, you know, bouncing ideas or feelings. And they just struggle with things sometimes. Running is an outlet. And then I'm the sounding board, and I'm okay with that.
How running changed the life of a busy executive.
I travel a lot, and when I meet people on the plane or a train or anywhere, I love talking to people. And whenever I meet somebody, when people ask me what I do, I say I'm a marathoner. Now, I have a passion for this thing, and it's funny. Everybody I talk to, it doesn't matter what they do or what they do not do with fitness. Whenever I open that conversation up, we start talking about fitness, and they talk about what they do, what they want to do. You know? And then I always joke, I'll tell you what I do now. I can answer your question later about what my profession is, but I'm answering your question. What do I do? Who am I? I am a marathoner.
And a Canadian Olympian teaches his clients not to overdo it.
You have to really hold them back a bit and plan things out a bit better so they can kind of see where things are going. Because if you don't give them that direction, a lot of times they'll just start doing everything. They'll start upping their mileage. They'll start going to the gym again, doing their strength training. And they'll get a few weeks down the line and either end up injured or have just overdone it and lose some of that motivation.
On this edition of iRun Radio, we'll talk to running and triathlon coach Phaedra Kennedy on some of her own experiences and the advice she gives her clients on both the physical and mental aspects of training, how running changed the life of a busy executive in Ottawa, and Canadian Olympian Dylan Wykes is warning us not to do too much too soon at the beginning of the year. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
We got to see each other this week, which is great. You were in Ottawa. You got to make the trip up here to hang out a little bit. I was very, very glad to see you.
My second home, yeah. Beautiful running time has me excited for all the things that we're about to do and the races we're about to run. And I'm excited to think about even squeezing another one there on the schedule and starting my season off with the Winterman. So let's see if we can't make that happen.
Yeah, so are we doing this? I mean, I'm working towards doing the Winterman Marathon, which is February 17th in Ottawa. It's part of this great winter festival that we have in Ottawa called Winterlude. I've run it the last 2 years. They have a marathon, half marathon, and some shorter distances as well. And I've participated in that event 3 or 4 times, including doing the marathon the last 2 years, and really like that event. It's a smaller event, but a really fun one. And sometimes it's super, super cold, and sometimes it's mild. So are you in or what?
Well, I think before I announce it to Canada, I need to speak with my wife.
That's a good idea. Some logistics. You got some stuff to take care of before you make the commitment. I get that.
But the idea, I mean, and even anybody, whether or not you're, you know, I think all of us out here trying to run in the cold and everything, the sooner we can get a race on the calendar, you know, the better it is. And like, if I did that event with you, I wouldn't really be worrying about a time, but running to race and seeing what I had in the back half of a race, and just getting out there. And I think that would give me some inspiration for my next month of running as I see the temperatures keep dipping. I would love to. So I'm going to work out my pitch, my best pitch to my wife and see what I need to do, but I would certainly love that. I know you've had a great time doing it, and I really do feel the itch to get back out and racing.
Yeah, what I love about it is you get the chance to do a marathon in February. For me, it's probably the marathon that's closest to my house in terms of the start line.
I think
the start line is about 2-3 kilometers from my home. It's really close by. And then you've started the year, and by the time spring rolls around, you've already got a race under your belt. You know, like, it feels like things are underway and you're ahead of the game, and you've also conquered the elements a little bit. You've taken on Mother Nature. You've beaten down winter instead of winter beating down you, you know? So
really
all
cool.
of that.
Really cool.
I love that.
Really
yeah.
cool. I know.
Did you
know.
Get some running in when you were in Ottawa? Because we didn't get to run together. We got to spend time together, but not on the move.
Not on the move, unfortunately. What we did get to do was check out this really cool gym there called the Liquid Gym.
Yeah.
And this place does a lot of rehabilitation for athletes and does a lot with the running clubs and things where they have treadmills in the water, and they've got one of these Ultra G treadmills, which are these super great treadmills where you can resist your body weight. So you're able to run super duper fast, 19 kilometers an hour, whatever is the top speed. And it's really neat. It's a really cool place. So I did get to go check that out and see what they have. And we're seeing if we can't work with them in some capacity, because they have really neat things that I think a lot of runners would benefit for. And of course, we know, you know, pool running when we can really takes some of the pressure off the joints, and it's, you know, it's good for the long distance training. And so I did get to do that. Unfortunately, I know my colleague Sabrina Young got to run on the canal. I missed that, but I did get a little workout in there, so I'm still keeping relatively.
Okay, good stuff. But yeah, they've got some very cool equipment, and you were showing me some pictures of that, and you can and for people who are recovering from injuries and want to reduce impact and all of that, some really good resources there. And so
we'll have a story. We'll have a story about that up on the blog this week.
Okay, good stuff. Yeah, and I mean, just think where technology can take us, right? We're just at the beginning of some of this stuff. It's very cool.
When that treadmill first came out, you know, it was $100,000, and there was like six of them in Canada.
Right.
But, you know, it's been around now. It's 5.5 years, so now there's something like $60,000, and there's, you know, 55 of them. And it just, you know, it's just, to speak to what you're saying, is that this stuff becomes more democratized, because it really should be accessible for everyone.
Yeah. Now, coming up in iRun, you're talking about two of my favorite subjects, food and sleep, right?
That's correct, sir. That's right. Because, you know, the more we get into it, the more we get into the culture and the lifestyle, the more we know, okay, many of us understand the long run, the speed work, but it's also, you know, it's all encompassing.
Yeah.
So how we eat, how we sleep, all of these things are going to, you know, affect our performance. So we're trying to address the 360 degree of needs that a runner experiences.
Yeah, I love that, because it is all about the lifestyle, right? It's about how you fit running in with all the other things in your life. We're actually going to talk to Dylan Wykes a little bit about that coming up on the show today.
Nice.
Great guy, Canadian Olympian, of course, and now a coach. And here's a guy, you know, who's got lots of clients, and he works with them not just on getting faster, but integrating running into their lives and making their running support their life and their life support their running. So some very cool stuff. All right, Ben, great to talk to you. Great to see you this week. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you on next week's edition of iRun Radio.
Appreciate your time, my friend.
Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, it's not just physical, it's mental. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Phaedra Kennedy has turned her passion for running into a full-time occupation. She's a certified running and triathlon coach in Toronto. Phaedra, thanks for being with us.
No problem. My pleasure.
And I have to say, I admire you, because you're one of these people who has been able to turn your passion for running and for inspiring others and for triathlons into a full-time occupation. This is your vocation in life, and you've managed to turn it into your full-time work. That's great.
Yes, yeah. Best decision I ever made.
Yeah, tell me how it all came about.
How did it start? I started blogging, I think, in 2011. And at that point, my running had started to improve, and I started to get faster, and I started to actually place at races. And with the blog, people started reading and following the journey and that sort of thing. And then people started to approach me about coaching, and I'm kind of like, oh, okay, sure. Like, why not? Cause I was always giving people advice anyway. So I think I'd say probably 2013 was when I started coaching some friends, And then I wanted to get a certification, so I worked on getting that. And then 2014, I opened my virtual doors, I guess you could say, because I do all of my coaching, most of it online. I opened those doors and took on, you know, 4 or 5 athletes was all I could handle at the time with a full-time job. Took on 4 to 5 people every year. And then I had to start turning people away at some point because I was like, I just can't manage everybody. So that's when my husband started to say, okay, you know what? You should really look at doing this. Just get out of your current job. You're not happy. You want to do something different. Try coaching. Just do it. So in 2016, I left my full-time job, and now I do this full-time.
Right on.
And I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you haven't looked back.
I have not, no.
Yeah.
I do not miss my old job whatsoever. I miss the people I worked with, but I do not miss the day-to-day of that. It was stressful, and yeah.
And
a good change.
Coaching runners, let's talk about that a little bit, because
okay.
it's partly about laying out a program for them and saying, here's how much to run and when and how fast and all of that. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's kind of being an ambassador for the sport. It's being a guide to these runners on the path that they're taking. It's being an inspirational leader, almost a spiritual leader at times. It's all of that rolled together, isn't it?
Absolutely. Not only a spiritual leader, but sometimes a shrink.
Therapist. You're a running therapist.
I am. Like, I do feel like there is that relationship with athletes, some athletes especially, that just really need that extra help in terms of, you know, bouncing ideas or feelings. And they just struggle with things sometimes. Running is an outlet. And then I'm the sounding board, and I'm okay with that. Like, I value those relationships with people. I think you really get to know an athlete when, you know, you have that trust level and they're able to sort of tell you those things.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that. So I did study psychology in university as well. And that was one path that I looked at going down and then didn't. So,
yeah. There you go. It all comes back to that.
I know.
And so is it, you know, were you surprised by how much time you've been spending with your clients talking about things other than specifically running?
No, because I think once people start down the path of doing endurance sports, they quickly realize that it's not just about training the body. It's also about training the mind, especially if you're doing, you know, a marathon or an Ironman, something that is a very long day. You have to be mentally engaged, and you have to understand that you're going to have dark places during these races. You're going to go through parts where you're like, oh, my God, this is awful. And you have to be able to get yourself out of that. So, you know, it's helping athletes deal with those things when they come up in training and learning, helping them learn the skills to make them mentally resilient.
Yeah, very cool. So what does that end up looking like in a lot of cases? What kinds of conversations are you having with your clients, and how are you getting them on the right path and overcoming some of these challenges, the mental challenges that they're encountering?
Well, a lot of it is sort of talking them off the ledge. First of all, because, you know, when someone has a tough time during the workout, generally it's like, oh my God, that went really poorly. And I don't know how to deal with this. So it's getting them to look at the reasons behind why they're doing this, finding their why, right? I'm sure you may have seen that out there. It seems to be a popular thing now. And it's like, okay, well, you know, what's the core reason behind why you're doing this? Find out what matters to you and focus on that during your tough times. And I always say, you know, it's good to have a mantra. So something positive that you can refer to, whether it's a word or a phrase, something you just keep repeating to yourself when the going gets tough.
And what about your own running? Tell us a little bit about that, because I know you've been in, you've run some marathons, and I know that Somehow, by coincidence, you ended up at a couple of very high-profile marathons that one of which didn't happen. The other one was cut short, the New York City marathon that was canceled because of Hurricane Sandy, the Boston marathon where the bombings took place. So you've had your share of challenges around some of these marathons, too.
Yeah.
Beyond your control.
Beyond my control. Like New York, I was really disappointed. But there was a bunch of people that organized the run in Central Park that day anyway. So I didn't get to run the marathon, but I did go run with about 25,000 other people around Central Park. I think I only ran 30K, and then I was like, okay, I'm going for breakfast. My husband's waiting for me. So I still got to run around Central Park. I didn't get to see all the boroughs, but, you know, I will go back at some point. I do still want to do that race. It is a bucket list race. And Boston, that day was crazy. That race was the best race I've ever run. It was the perfect day. I had the perfect race. I finished, it's my marathon PB. I set my PB there. And, you know, then I'm sitting in a pub having drinks with my friends, everyone that raced, and then I get this call from my secretary at work saying, you know, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, why? She said, oh, we heard there was a bomb at the finish line. I'm like, what? And then, you know, I started getting text messages and all these crazy things. So I immediately phoned my parents and said, I'm okay. And that's when Ben Kaplan called me and was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a very crazy day. So we left the pub. I didn't even go back to the hotel. Like after the race, I just grabbed my clothes and went straight to the pub. Clearly the importance of having a beverage was, it was paramount. But when we left the pub, the streets were empty. It was the creepiest thing I've ever seen. It was so strange. We couldn't get back to the hotel. They wouldn't let us in. Because it was in the zone that they had quarantined.
Right.
So we just went and found another hotel where there was people hanging out that just outside that zone. And there was like, I can't even tell you how many runners sitting in the back area, back lobby of this one hotel. And people were offering up rooms for us to come up and shower if we wanted. And then I didn't do that. My husband and I wandered over to a pub or a bar further, a restaurant further away. And there was a whole bunch of people in there, runners as well, people that couldn't get back home. My cell phone had died, so I was looking for a charger. Someone had a charger. She let me charge my phone up. And once it powered back on, I had eaten, and I checked messages again, and the cell service was back on. And then I called the hotel, and I was like, look, can we get back in? Like, it was probably about 7 o'clock. I had been done since 1. So it was 6 hours of, you know, sitting around in my stinky clothes. Eventually we got back into the hotel, but I'll never forget walking back over there. There was like a police or SWAT guy, army guy standing outside. And I said, you know, we're in this hotel. And he's like, okay, you're going to walk over to that door and you're going to go right in. If I see you go anywhere else, there's going to be trouble. We were like, okay, no problem. They went in and, oh my gosh. Yeah. It's a very crazy experience.
Yeah. No kidding. So if you're talking to your clients about achieving their goals for 2019, what's one of the messages that you're sharing with them? What's the one piece of advice that you think is important for them to hear?
It needs to be a realistic goal that matters. They have to really care about what they're doing. And I was having this conversation with somebody the other day. If you're not 100% invested in it, in the process, it's not going to matter to you, and then you're just going to give up easier. You won't push yourself to achieve those goals.
That's a great point. You've got to. That's what you're going to draw on those days when you don't feel like going out for a run, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It has to matter.
Great stuff. Well, Phaedra, it is a real pleasure to speak with you, and good luck with your own goals this year. Good luck to all your clients. Again, I admire you for pursuing your vocation in life and giving up full-time work to plunge into coaching triathletes and runners. Thank you so much for being on the show with us.
My pleasure. Thanks, Mark.
That's Phaedra Kennedy, a running and triathlon coach in Toronto. Coming up next, how running changed the life of a busy executive in Ottawa. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Welcome back to iRun Radio. iRun Radio is on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa. And you can listen to the podcast, and you can check out past editions of the show at irun.ca. Just click on radio. Mo Renault is one of many people who says running has changed his life. He took it up at the age of 49 and has since run 6 marathons and many other races. Mo, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
So you didn't start running until a few years ago when you were in your late 40s, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, Mark, I used to, I used to do a lot of walking when my kids were young. I'd find ways to stay fit. Did a lot of walking. Went to the gym. In my late, I'm 57 now. In my late 40s, through lifestyle, I'd put on a bit of weight, and I had an annual physical, and my blood pressure was dangerously high, and I had to make changes. And that was a real, that was a real shock because, as you know, a man in late 40s that's not healthy is high risk of cardiovascular disease. So that was an eye-opener for me. And at that point in my life, I realized I had to make changes, and I made a lot of changes.
So let's talk about some of those changes. Other than running, what did you do?
I really looked at my diet, made a lot of changes there, and to the overall nutrition. But I would say the biggest change I made is I stopped drinking. I made a conscious choice to stop drinking, and it was a big lifestyle change for me. And in a way, it really I changed my nutrition, stopped drinking in conjunction with taking up running a lot more seriously at that time. So I think that those lifestyle changes I made went hand in hand with allowing me to focus on running and taking running seriously and to start setting goals and start doing races and stuff. So, one thing I learned, looking back now, I learned that, when a lot of us make the mistake of, New Year's resolutions or I'm going to change stuff in my life, I think depending on, how you want to make that change, I think you really have to look at not just making the change, but what am I going to do with this change I'm making, right? What other things am I going to change in my life, and how can I have fun doing that? So I think that's what made it a lot easier, was refocusing on something new, on running. At that time, it was running. I'd started running, and that transition made it a lot easier, and I took it seriously, and it worked.
And tell me about the running that you took on. Was it a big adjustment for you? You said you walked a lot before that, but becoming a runner, was it hard at first?
Yeah, Mark, it was. I was in high school in mid to late 70s, and those were the days of Bill Rogers and the early great marathoners in North America, and running was just starting to become a thing back then. So I was on the track team in high school, and I loved distance running, but unfortunately there was virtually no coaching for kids in those days. Coaches and track teams focused on track races, not on distance races. So there was a lot of learning then as a kid, just reading books and there was no internet. So reading books and reading articles and talking to people who ran, which was a small community. And so you were running based on limited knowledge and bad advice. So I did it in high school, did a bit of racing in high school, and then, you know, never really stayed with it, just because I started doing other things and I didn't really know what I was doing at the time. So that I had a taste of running as a kid, but when this thing happened, when this life change happened with me, like I knew I had enjoyed running when I was a kid. I knew I've always enjoyed walking. You know, if I can't run, at a minimum, I know I'll be walking. I've always loved walking. So I think when I took this up a few years ago, I changed a lot of things, relearning everything. I was 49 years old, and I was willing to accept the fact that I'm starting all over, but this time I want to do it right. The big mistake that I made is I started running took running up again at 49, and 3 months later I did my first half marathon. I hadn't trained properly. I didn't know what I was doing. So I went into that marathon on race day with a sensitive tendon, and I had an injury. I didn't know it was an injury. So, it got progressively worse. It made things worse. And I continued training for a few years and racing, and I loved it, but I was always injured. You know, my build-up, I would always, 9 times out of 10, my build-up to race day, I would have, you know, I'd be tired. I would have overtrained. I didn't know what the symptoms were. So it took me about 2-3 years of that testing, and I realized I needed help. And by that time, I had started, getting to know a lot of people in the community. This is such an amazing community. So many people have done so many amazing things with how they've embraced running, for example. So I got to know a lot of people, and anyway, so some of my friends connected me with a coach, and started working. His name is Randy Zabukovic. I started working with Randy, you know, about 2 or 3 years into my running, and I've been working with Randy now about 5 or 6 years, and that's changed everything. I no longer have injuries. I know how to train. I know how to not overtrain. So the result of that now is, you know, I take this stuff really, really seriously. And the result of that now is my results are improving, whether it's a marathon or a shorter race. I'm building into a better athlete.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to see the results. And that's a lot of fun. It's when you get to that level where this is great. I know what I'm doing. I know how to train. I'm working with a professional. It's amazing. And just so you know, the budget for me to pay for a coach is nowhere near the money I used to spend on beer on any given week. So it's, you know,
that's a good way of looking at it.
The investment is definitely there.
Yeah. So Mo, tell me more about how running has changed your life, though, because you really are you're kind of an evangelist when it comes to that. So tell me about the impact it's had on you.
Yeah. Mark, it's changed everything. From simple things of coping with the stress of my job. As you get older, normally you take on more responsibilities, and I sleep better at night now than when I was 30 years old. It's helped my day-to-day living in terms of being able to sleep at night. It's changed my outlook on life. There's nothing more important, I think, than when you're on a run, when you're on a training run, early in the morning, at night. It doesn't matter that when you're in that moment, and whether your thing is running or not, I don't think it matters. I think it's when you're in movement, when you're doing your physical activity, fitness thing. There's no other moment like that when you realize it puts things in perspective. So whatever issues I have in my life, when I go on my run, when I go on my training run, I realize that, okay, life is good. This is not bad. This thing that's happening to me this week, I can deal with it. So from the person I am, from how I look at things has changed a lot. The big physical change, very, very obvious things like my resting heart rate. I'm 57 years old. My resting heart rate ranges from 48 to 52. You know, you don't really see that in a 25, 30-year-old male. So when I look at the physiology of what running has done, those are huge benefits for me. So that, you know, that's the physical part. And I think the social part for me is I travel a lot. And when I meet people on a plane or a train or anywhere, I love talking to people. And whenever I meet somebody, when people ask me what I do, I say I'm a marathoner. Now, I have a passion for this thing. And it's funny, everybody I talk to, it doesn't matter what they do or what they do not do with fitness. Whenever I open that conversation up, we start talking about fitness. And they talk about what they do, what they want to do. Yeah, and then I always joke, I'll tell you what I do now. I can answer your question later about what my profession is, but I'm answering your question. What do I do? Who am I? I am a marathoner. Years ago, my coach had told me, you know, this thing that we do is going to affect the circle of people that are close to me in my life. But the more I do it and the more I grow in it, that circle will expand. And I'm seeing that today. You know, it's influenced my kids. My kids are athletes, and I know that, you know, their sport is not the sport I'm in, but I know that what they saw in me and the change in me that has influenced, you know, what they're doing with their lives and their sport and their nutrition, et cetera. So,
yeah. Good for you, Mo.
Significant change.
Yeah. Well, you're so passionate about it. It's inspiring to hear you talk about it. I really appreciate you joining us on the show, Mo, and continued good luck with your running and your health. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Thank you. Talk soon. Take care.
That's Mo Renault, a runner in Ottawa. Coming up next, Canadian Olympian Dylan Wykes. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. You might not be able to run as fast as Dylan Wykes, but that doesn't mean you can't learn from the experience of the Canadian Olympian. Dylan has become a coach, and he makes the lessons of an elite runner very relatable for people who aren't at the front of the pack. Dylan, thanks for joining us once again on iRun Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So it's a new year, and let's start with you and your goals. What are your plans for 2019?
2019 is going to be a fun year for me, hopefully. I'm going to try and get back into doing some more racing. I raced the National Cross Country Championships in Kingston in November, and that kind of was a good kick in the butt. I think I'm going to try and find some more races, so trying to train consistently and not take it too seriously, not as I used to, but still it'll be fun to get out there more.
Okay, right on. Well, I hope it goes well for you, and let's talk about the conversation you're having, I'm sure, with a lot of your clients at this time of year, which is about goals for 2019, and I think everybody kind of starts the new year and they start thinking, okay, you know, I'm going to get back in shape. I'm going to do this. I'm going to run a marathon this year. I'm going to do my first 10K. And so there's a lot of pent-up energy after the holidays sometimes, isn't there?
There really is, yeah. People are excited, you know, the whole New Year's resolution thing, and people want to start getting after it. And one of the things I find with a lot of people I coach is that you have to really hold them back a bit and plan things out a bit better so they can kind of see where things are going. Because if you don't give them that direction, a lot of times they'll just start doing everything. They'll start upping their mileage. They'll start going to the gym again, doing their strength training, and they'll get a few weeks down the line and either end up injured or have just overdone it and lose some of that motivation. I think it's important to kind of help them add little things, at different stages along the way.
Yeah, you want to start something new, that's okay, but you want to start something that's sustainable, right?
Exactly, yeah, that's a good word there, sustainable for sure. So any training plan, any running program, sustainable is very important to get that consistency, and so you got to be smart about what you're adding in and when.
Now, when it comes to goal setting, what kind of conversation do you have with your clients about how to pick the right goals for the year, if that's the mindset they have right now?
Yeah, I really love the goal setting sessions that I have with my athletes. It's, you know, when I was competing at high level, goals were always what kept me motivated. So I think it's important to talk with people about why they have the goals they have. And, you know, some people just get in a groove of doing the same races and doing the same type of training for those same races and expect different results. But it's important to mix it up sometimes and to really kind of dig into what is important to people in their running and what they want to see out of their racing, and then try and direct them in the right ways to achieve that.
Can you give me an example of walking somebody through the process or even a hypothetical one of how you have to, what the factors are you have to consider when you're setting your goals for the year?
Yeah, for sure. A lot of people that I coached, qualifying for Boston is a big goal.
Sure.
So usually we'll look at that and we'll say, okay, if you want to qualify for Boston 2020, you have to run your time by, say, September of 2019. And then we just try and pick races that are suitable to do that. And, usually it's look at the courses, look at how many people usually qualify for Boston in these different races, look at the weather and stuff like that. And usually try and then you've got to, factor in people's life as well. What's work like at that time? What's your family like? Life during that time, not only when you're going to do the race, but also in the 2 or 3 months leading up to that, when you're going to be doing your key training. And then we try and pinpoint that race and plan backwards the training from there.
I love the way you incorporated real life there, because I think that's so important. You got to make everything fit together. And I think that's the thing that sometimes it's easy to overlook when we're all setting goals, is you might have some professional goals. You might want to take a university course on the side. You might have some things you want to do with your family. And you kind of have to plot all these things together on the same path. Or what you're going to find is that on the weekend when you're supposed to be off with your family at some family reunion, you also have to do a 30K run, and that there's no opportunity to do that, right? So you got to make sure they all intersect and work together.
Yeah, it's really important. And it's funny sometimes how often people overlook that kind of thing. And then we'll get, 2 or 3 weeks out from this race or from this key training session, and they'll tell me exactly those sorts of things. Oh, I've got to go away on this family vacation to a resort, and I don't think I'll be able to run at all. I'm like, I should have thought of this a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting. Now, you mentioned Boston being a big goal for a lot of people, obviously. And one of the things I find fascinating about that now is that it's such a moving target. You can't just qualify. You've got to qualify with a bit of a buffer. And nobody knows what it's going to be until everybody registers. And so that adds an element of uncertainty to the process, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does. I wish I could be inside the boardroom of the BAA.
Don't we all? Yeah.
When they're figuring this all out, because it adds this extra element to things that make it tough for the athletes. You run your race and you hit your time, but then you're not so sure until judgment day, and sometime in September, whether or not you actually get in. And that's definitely a tough thing, but I think just knowing that's the goal, and trying to give yourself a little buffer on that BQ is what you have to do, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I guess there's something relatable there to your life as an elite athlete, because So the cruelty of a few seconds here and there is an element of sport, right? And so I think for you as an Olympian and for other runners like you, sometimes it's the difference between being on the podium or not can come down to a few seconds. The difference between an Olympic not can come down to a few seconds. And for amateur runners, it's the difference between getting into Boston or not getting in can come down to just a second or two.
Yeah, it's definitely, there's a lot of parallels to my running career when I was chasing times to try and make Olympic teams and national teams for various things. So it's, you know, there's an element of pressure, but usually when people have a little pressure on them, they can rise to the occasion and perform.
I wanted to talk to you about the goal of getting faster that obviously a lot of runners have. What advice do you have for them on setting some realistic targets in that area? How much faster can, because everybody of course wants, you know, if you're running a 4-hour marathon, you want to be able to run a 3:15 marathon, and everybody gets really ambitious about that. But how realistic is it to increase your speed by a wide margin, or do you have to do it in increments? And what's a realistic increment to shoot for?
Yeah, it's totally, a lot of it depends on the person and where they're coming from, how long they've been training for, kind of their experience in the sport to be able to really predict for people. Because, you know, someone might have run a 4-hour marathon 5 times in a row, but maybe they only ran 20K a week. And I could say to that person, oh, you know what, if you're able to safely get up to running 50 or 60K a week, I bet you could knock 30 minutes off that time. So it's hard to give a real broad, general answer to that one. It really does depend.
Yeah, but obviously it's got to be in manageable blocks, right? And that's the thing. It's got to be substantiated, right? It's got to be within your reach. Take it on.
Totally. Yeah. I think I don't like to blow up and puff out their chest and tell them that, oh yeah, you're gonna, you know, take 30 minutes off your time, no problem. It's got to be realistic, and small chunks are better than going for big chunks, because otherwise you end up, disappointing more often than not. And you want people to stay in the sport for a long time.
Yeah.
So if you can have them thinking long term and little bits of time, 5 minutes at a time, also their best. That's a good approach.
Yeah, and then you get more personal bests in the process, right? Instead of it all happening at once. All right, Dylan,
exactly.
It's always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us, and all the best to you this year.
Yeah, thanks so much.
That is Canadian Olympian Dylan Wykes. And that's it for our show this week. I hope you can join us for the next edition of iRun Radio. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.